Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. The screen is stacked. Ryan is back on. He's dusted them cobwebs off his laptop and his mic. He's all raring, ready to go. I'm buzzing that he's back on. And a lot of you have missed him. So I don't know where we were since you've been on. I think you probably around Christmas time. So how you doing? What you made of us?
Oh, it's awesome, isn't it? It's probably the best season, I'd say, of me following Aston Villa. And I've had some special seasons where we've won League Cups, where we've been in European competitions. But this season just feels completely different. I'd say from start to finish, but it got off to a rough start. But after the first game, we've just been superb. The way we've handled ourselves, the way we just continue to churn out results and performances. I'm in awe, absolute in awe of this football team. And I don't think I've ever, in the words of Unai, connected as well to the players, the management, the supporters again. I know Dino brought us all back together following relegation, but this feels different. Like the build-up to the atmospheres, you know, the build-up to the coaches coming out. Everyone's in it now. And the final to this season that we're all craving, trophies, Champions League qualification, it's in our grasp, and I back this team to do it, and proper excited. So buzzing for it, buzzing for these final few weeks.
Mate, I was just about to say, there's some people that want to hear your thoughts and want to hear you say you're buzzing. So Ryan's buzzing. We're all buzzing, right? So I'm at a phase now where I'll go to the games now, and I've got a lucky shirt. Justin's got lucky socks on. I'm at a point now where I don't want to shave my beard off because I can't get rid of this beard now. I'm keeping it until the last game of the season or the last time Villa kick a ball. I always got the same set of stairs at the Holt End, and I'm like that now. I'm zoned into everything that I'm doing. I'm just making sure that I'm following the same routine. And then psychologically, we're just going to get there. But we're all on the screen. We're all here for a European semi-final. Now, when we started this podcast, we were in COVID trying to survive. And now we're all on screen here talking about Villa in a European semi-final. So, Hannah, how are you feeling going into this big game?
I am feeling very excited. I'm trying to like let the excitement exceed the nervousness because it's been such a journey, like you say, to get to this point in not a very long period of time, really. If we think about when the new owners came in 6 years ago or so, and we were in the Championship, to be from that point to where we are now, potentially qualifying for the Champions League and in a semi-final of a European competition already, it's such a transition. So I feel like I need to enjoy the excitement of that rather than just get bogged down in the nerves. I think after the weekend's additional injuries, it's sort of added, I think, a slight layer of pressure, perhaps, just on like the kind of resources that we have at the moment. But I do think that going into this, we're kind of still going to have the core of that team that are absolutely dying to bring a trophy to Aston Villa. So it's very exciting and I'm looking forward to it. Won't get to go to the away leg, but we'll very much be looking forward to visiting Villa Park on Thursday night for a semi-final in Europe.
Can't wait for it. Before we touch on the big game then on Thursday, it's important, I think, we kind of get Justin's thoughts on the weekend's action. We saw yesterday Spurs losing to Arsenal, which means that they've now got 5 games to play and they are still 7 points behind Aston Villa. It's getting closer. We're edging closer. But Justin, having sort of reflected after the fan cam, how would you summarise where we are now after the weekend?
I think the points against Chelsea felt massive, even though we were probably a bit disappointed to not win the game from 2-0 up. But the actual point at the end of the day, given how we played and held on, in the context of the season, you know, when you're this close to the end, those one single points can make huge differences. And I think given what happened to Spurs yesterday, which I think we all hoped and expected probably to happen, it just shows the importance of that point now. And I think we are tantalisingly close now to confirming top four in Champions League football. And I think Thursday night when we play our semi-final, Spurs play Chelsea that night as well, don't they? So, you know, we probably need three more points, I think, to nail it down properly. But if they lose to Chelsea on Thursday night and we win, hopefully, then Thursday night could be the tipping point of both of our hopes and dreams for the end of the season. The finale coming off is obviously a final and that top four. You know, we want both now. We're greedy. We haven't done all this work to throw it all away now. And I think Spurs have got a massive uphill task now. They've got a huge uphill task. You know, three more points for us in our last three games means they've got to get about 11 points. And we all know what that fixture list is like. And we know what's happened to them the last two games. So that point could really be monumental, honestly. And I think looking weirdly at it is, I'm probably almost happy that Chelsea have hit four, you know, against us, because that means they're going into this game against Spurs now on Thursday with a bit of confidence now, thinking, yeah, we've just gone to Villa, a tough place to go, and arguably played us off the park for most of the game, you know, controlled the game, created loads of chances, probably should have won the game. So a Spurs that are very up and down, let's say, I'm confident that Thursday is going to be a massive night for Aston Villa Football Club.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I know Ryan studies Unai's team. He knows the ins and outs of it, a little bit like me. He really like notices the finer details. That's what I mean. He's been with Unai, isn't he?
He's been in the bunker, isn't he? He's been in the bunker doing the Unai research.
He has. He's been like feeding Luke a bit of info. Get this out for me. Get this out for me. This is what I want Rodgers to do. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, I know you'd be very impressed with Rodgers, because I know you like those types of scenarios and players and youth coming through. So just talk to me a little bit about how you're feeling about Rodgers and how well he's doing, because I think he's been brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think anyone could have really predicted the impact he'd have this season. Like, to do what he's just done, the last three home games, and score in all three. I think I read a stat somewhere that he's the first player under 21 to do so. It's incredible, really. Not a lot of us knew about him when we was linked with him. Obviously, we all was watching that Chelsea semi-final when Middlesbrough played him in the Carabao Cup, and we're all looking at him going, what's he got? What's he got? What can Unai see? And we know what he's seeing now, because he's extracting it out of him. He's like, his physical ball carrying is unreal for his age. And just to step onto the stage, like, we're fourth in the league, we're pushing for Champions League, we're in a semi-final of a European competition, and he's in this team now. And he's arguably one of our top players in form. And I'm just in awe of what he's achieved so far. And it looks hugely promising, the player he's going to become. And under Unai's guidance and the coaching staff that we've got down there and the players that he's got around him, Will's at his feet. Villa Park's at his feet. And we're fully backing him. He's a local lad. He's 21 years old. And, you know, the Villa Park crowd resonates to that, don't they? And like, he's just like proper got an air of, like, an aura of confidence about him. Now he's rocking up. He's got his little trademark celebration. He's just took off Cole Palmer, you know, give him some back saying, no, that was my celebration. I'm wearing it now. And for me, I know Unai jokes around and gets in his head calling him a championship player, but he's a Premier League player now. And I'm sure it won't be long before Unai starts calling him that in training. So, yeah. And what did he pay? 11 million quid or something? Bargain. Absolute bargain.
One thing I've noticed with him, which I really rate, and I don't think we've got many of these in the squad, there's an air of a bit of arrogance about him, I think. Like, a bit of, like, I'm the man. Like, he scores that goal and he just peels away and he's doing his little celebration. And I just think he's got something special, that kid has. And I just can't wait to see him just developing this team and full pre-season. And, you know, he might be carrying a Europa League, Conference League trophy in his bag, you know, and he's only just got here. So, you know, what a story that's going to be for him. And he's, you know, he's earned his spot in the team now. And not, dare I say, he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet now. Yeah. He's only been here since January. So, yeah, massive, massive player. So we got some good stats and we've got them coming up. And they're from my good friend, AVFC Scout, who a lot of you will know has been supplying us with his data, his threads, his knowledge, his reading of the game. And he's created this wonderful match package for us. And he's put it on his Twitter feed, his X feed. And we're going to be showing them now over the course of the next two episodes that we do. So I've split it in half. We've got more of an overview about Olympiacos. And then when we do the predicted lineup, we'll have more about how they play, what to look out for. So fantastic stuff. And I'll put the link to his handle in the description of this video. So go and check out the content and follow him over there because he's just doing some great, great stuff. So I'm going to share it with you now. We're about to see me absolutely butcher probably some names, some team names. So that's going to be worth a laugh if we've got some Olympiacos fans that are going to be in the chat. So or in the comment section. So we've got on the left-hand side, we've got their form, their road to the semi-finals. They finished third in their Europa League group and dropped into the Europa Conference League. They've played Ferencváros and beat them twice. They've played Maccabi Tel Aviv and they lost them the first time 4-1 and then beat them 6-1. And then they beat Fenerbahce in the quarterfinals. Their key players are Fortunis, El Kabi and Rodini. And then their predicted lineup is going to be a 4-2-3-1. So you can see that they have got a 4-2-3-1 formation with Ortega, Carmo, Restos, Rodini, Heze, Cicchino, Podent, Jovetic, Fortunis and El Kabi. I think we've got there all right. They are a high-pressing team, an aggressive pressing style throughout the game, aiming to force turnovers to capitalise on mistakes and regain possession in advanced areas. Wide play, a direct and wing-orientated approach, focusing on stretching the width of the pitch and delivering crosses into the box. Justin, I watch a lot of football. You know, I'd say I watch Premier League, Championship, keep my eye on La Liga, watch a bit of the German League, keep my eye on the French League. Apart from that, I do not venture into any type of Greek football. So this is absolutely fantastic.
Are you going to throw me under the bus now?
I'm chucking you under this bus and I'm going
to... You want me to solve their team?
I'm going to ask you what you know and what can we expect?
Absolutely nothing and no idea. Look, you know, they're a good side in Greece, aren't they? You know, we know Daniel Podence from his time at Wolves. And they're going to be a threat. You know, they don't. Nobody gets to a European semi-final without being a half-decent side. But I stand fully behind my thoughts with the Lille game that, for me, the best two teams left in the competition were Lille and Villa. And I always felt if we could navigate past them, then we would have a very good chance of going very, very close to winning this competition. And I think that's the case. You know, I watched Olympiacos a little bit after we won our game and switched over to their game. But I don't know a lot about them. I really don't. I'd be lying to sit here and say that, yeah, they're this, they're that, they're, you know, the movement. Like the first game against Lille, you know, we'll have a very good idea about them after we play them on Thursday, and we'll have a very good idea of what we face when we go over there. I would think they'll be a lot more worried about us than we are of them, with Unai taking as much time and effort as he does with every single team. You know, if he was playing a conference side, he would still go into massive detail, wouldn't he, about how they play. So I expect us to be fully prepared for him. We are a little bit light on numbers, I think, again, but I think we're used to that now. And I think the team is very used to playing with players missing. So I think it's going to be one of them ones on the day. We'll just hope that that we are very prepared for them. And you know, I think the first leg is huge in this game. You know, we saw what happened in the Lille game, 2-0 up, but very disappointing that we conceded that goal. And ultimately, it could have cost us, but it didn't. So I'm hoping we can get us a couple of goals and hopefully keep a clean sheet, which I think would be absolutely massive going over there.
One man who knows quite a lot about this team and this manager is Unai Emery and Monchi. So here's something that I didn't know, and this is, again, coming from ABFC scout. Olympiacos are currently under the guidance of the name that I'm going to absolutely butcher, Jose Luis Mendilibar, a seasoned Spanish manager hired in February 2004. Mendilibar brings a wealth of experience, having overseen close to 600 matches throughout his managerial career, predominantly in La Liga. Notably, Mendilibar previously served as a manager of Seville, where he was appointed by the now AVFC man, Monchi. His career peaked in 2022 and 23 UEFA Europa League campaign, beating Man United, Juventus, and eventually Mourinho's Roma side. Despite this, he was faced the sack merely 5 months after the Europa win, following a lacklustre start to the season. Unai Emery has a notable history, crossing paths with the manager 13 times. In Emery's career, he's faced only 6 managers more often than Mendilibar. The upper hand is currently maintained, of course, by Unai Emery, with 7 wins, 2 draws and 4 defeats. So Unai has came up against this manager numerous times. So it's going to be a real interesting game. I think it's going to be quite tactical between the two of them. He's won the Europa League. So here on the screen now, we've got another brilliant graphic. And I really like these ones because what you can see is that the larger circle represents the higher number of touches per player. So as you can see from this map of their formation, you know, when we were hearing about their winger who's really good, Fortunis, we can see that he's getting on the ball quite a lot. We've got the right back as well that's helping support them as well. Al-Kabi has got a 0.54 non-penalty XG, averaging 26 touches per game. So the further forward you go in a team, generally the strikers are going to get less and less touches, and the players at the back, the ones that are going to like build up, are going to get more touches. So we can see, you know, that the centre-backs are getting where we've got the centre-backs. Carmo has got 60.6. We've got Retsos, he's got 54.9 as well. So Ryan, I thought in the first game when we beat Ajax that we had the perfect scenario. Play at their place first, bring it back to Villa Park. The last game against Lille, home first. Tough game. This one, home first. We go away. What do you think is important in this one? And what do you want to see maybe a little bit differently in the course of the tie? Because I imagine we will have learnt stuff from the last tie against Lille. So what are your thoughts overall on the tie?
Yeah, I think in an ideal world, you'd always want to be away first and try and get a result there and then bring it back home and have your home atmosphere. Now, we've had to do it in reverse, and I did a little bit of digging into Emery's record before the last game, and it's very good of his teams playing at home first and then going to get a result away. When Villarreal got to the semi-finals of the Champions League, in the build-up to that, he'd got results against Bayern Munich and Juventus, playing at home first and then going away. So to start off with, we've got the most seasoned guy to negotiate the two legs. Now, our players have got experience, and Lille, that was a mega tough game. That was a tough, tough game, and we did extremely well to get through. First leg, Emi Martinez pulling off save after save. Lille could have easily went away with the win. In the end, we got the win, and we were faced again with a mega tough game at their place, an intimidating atmosphere, which we're going to get again in Olympiacos. But like I say, we've learned from it. We've had a massive experience to go away and win on penalties as well. Do you know what I mean? To go through extra time, you know, what's that? Not 120 minutes. In that atmosphere, and then to suck it all up and then go and beat them on penalties. And the way we dispatched our penalties showed me a different mentality to this Aston Villa team. Like Watkins, you know, he got took off penalties because he'd missed a couple in pre-season.
for him to go and step up after that long delay, after the debacle of that yellow card, and to go and put that penalty away, I just thought, my God, you know, that's elite mentality now. Matty Cash comes up and buries his penalty. It's unreal. So for me, Emery will tactically know how he wants the whole of this leg and this tie and this semi-final to play out. He will have moments where he'll release the attack, and he'll have moments when we'll want to close it. And he's got an idea and a scenario in his head. Like, Lille was very open the first leg, but we really went for it. We went 2-0 up, and I think we'll do the same again. I think we'll be a lot more open and expansive at Villa Park, and we will go for the juggler, I think. Yeah. I think we got her, and then we go back there, and we've got something to defend then when we go away. I'm quite confident that Lille was probably the most technical, tactical, toughest battle left in this competition, but we are at a stage now where it will come down to heart and passion and fight. And I think as a team, personality of our team, the togetherness of our team, I think we've got it in us to come through and get to Athens again. I really believe that we can do it, and it's not gonna be easy. It's a semi-final, and there's gonna be moments where you've got your heart in your mouth and you can't even look. But I do really, really fancy us.
How do you see the game panning out, Hannah? Like, same sort of question that I've asked Ryan, really. Like, what do you want to see and what don't you want to see?
I don't want to see us fail to manage a game again. I feel like we've had quite a few recently where, yes, we've had like decent team mentality to kind of stick games out. We've seen it in the league a couple of times, but there is an element that we've actually not been able to manage leads in games very well. We saw it against Brentford, we've seen it against Chelsea, and even, you know, in the first leg against Lille at home, we really, really wanted to see that game out 2-0, and we conceded. So I think there's got to be an element of kind of going back to basics of what a Unai Emery team wants to set out and to manage a game really well. And if that means we win by 1-0, but we don't concede, I'd almost prefer that to like a 2-1. And that might sound really stupid, but I do think there's such a big element to keeping a clean sheet in this first leg, keeping them out, and just setting ourselves up in the best possible like mental position to go away the following week. Like you've all touched on, it's not going to be an easy game, but I do think that we had a really kind of valuable experience playing Lille in the quarters, because they were such a tough side. I think perhaps some of us underestimated how difficult that was going to be. They were very good on the ball, especially when we went back to their place. They suffocated us for large parts. So I have no doubt that we're going to see something similar again. But I do agree that, well, I would hope that this is potentially not going to be quite as difficult of a game. They are a decent side. Again, I'm not going to pretend that I follow Greek football, but I know that you know, they're always sort of in and around the top three or four in their domestic competition. It's also probably important to mention that I think, like Lille, their domestic league has given them the week off in the lead up to this fixture on Thursday, whereas obviously we've had to play in our league on the weekend, so they'll have had longer to rest. I'm not sure what the injury situation's like in the Greek league, but if it's anything like it is in England, then they may be coming to us with injuries. But we are obviously struggling a lot with a threadbare squad now. So some of the odds might be against us in that respect, some tiredness, some lacking in terms of personnel. But I think what we lack there, we make up for in abundance in other areas, i.e. an excellent manager, which, as you've shown there, is very capable of coming out on top, not just in general in Europe in knockout football, but against this manager. And we do have the talent on the pitch, like we've seen. We're not where we are now in the league and in this competition because we've got a soft underbelly. I do genuinely think that this Villa side is a different beast now to what it used to be. It's just honestly, it's cutting out some of these goals that we're conceding, and a lot of them are avoidable. It's, you know, panicking, it's little errors at the back. It's not anything that I think is a major glaring issue with mentality or kind of the type of players we have. I think it's just cutting out some of the slack defending. But I totally back Unai Emery to get into them this week. I think he probably would have given them a bit of a telling off after that Chelsea game, because we really were quite poor. And I think I mention this every time now, but in this competition, the incentive is always there. You cannot slip up, really. Yes, it's a two-legged tie, but you can't ever accept that, oh, we'll fix it in the reverse fixture. You've got to be on the ball. You've got to perform. You've got to bring your A game in every single one of these Europa League, Europa Conference League games, because otherwise you will be out of the competition. So this is, again, just another test to prove this team's mettle. And I really hope that we can do it. I do think that we've got enough. It's just, you never know, do you? You never bloody know.
I think one of the big things that they'll have learned from the last game is they'll have walked off that pitch after that quarter final in the second leg and thought, oh my God, what a game that was. And I think they'll all probably think, do you know what? If we hadn't conceded that goal at Villa Park, if we'd have sort of just scored an extra goal, like, we would have like not been in this sort of scenario. And I think when we play Olympiacos, I kind of feel like the home leg, they're going to just have that little bit more, I think. And I think they're going to have that, they'll find that extra 5%. So, yeah, I think they'll all know the importance of this game. And, you know, I've seen Unai's interview after the game against Chelsea. I've started to notice as well with some of these interviews that he really doesn't like the stupid questions and sort of like a question that undermines where we are and what we're doing. You know, on social media where you'll see something and they'll talk about like the big six and they'll not put Villa in the graphic or something, and it really annoys us. I'm starting to get that with Unai a little bit, you know, towards the end of that Benign Sports interview when the guy was asking him some silly questions at the end, like, did he ask him who he wants to win the league? And I think he was just a bit like, what are you asking me for? I don't care. And I think he really didn't like that. But then I can imagine in the dressing room, he was really like not happy with our players. And, you know, after the Chelsea game, and he was sort of just saying like, Europa League, it's fantastic. We're fifth. Like, but the interviewer wanted to spin it in a different way of sort of saying like, oh, you've kind of dropped points against Chelsea at home. And he's just looking at it in like a different way. So, yeah, I've sensed that with Unai. Some of these stupid questions, I think he's just getting a bit annoyed with them, really. So I'm going to finish it off with just touching on the three key players for Olympiacos. And then when we do the predicted lineup, we'll go more in depth on where these players are going to be and what they're going to do. So striker, we've got 30 years of age, uses good movement in the box, poaching rebounds and connecting with crosses, aerial duels, strong in the air, dangerous from scoring from headers. Penalty taker, has scored 4 out of his last 5 penalties, including shootouts. Bottom left, oh, how have we got these? How has Scouty done this here? So we've even got where he stuck it. Bottom left, bottom right, top right, Panenka saved, and bottom right. So don't do no Panenkas against Martinez or Olsen. Acrobatics, he's got a bit of flair for the spectacular, scored a memorable bicycle kick against Tel Aviv in the Europa Conference League knockouts. He's also attempted a bicycle kick in the league play. So we can see heat map as well. That's coming from SofaScore. So, you know, he's got that little bit of that red zone inside the 18-yard box, can drift out wide as well. We've got Fortunis. He's the winger who's going to be playing on that right-hand side. Serves as Olympiacos' main creator with an impressive tally of 19 assists in all competitions this season. Positioning is comfortable starting on the right wing or in the number 10 position. Effective drifting into more central areas to impact in the final third. Key passing, executes high volume of progressive passes and through balls, driving the team forward, delivers crosses into the box. He's a good dribbler, possesses the ability to take players on. Set pieces, particularly outswinging corners from the right. He has the ability to shoot and score from free kicks. And finally, the right back provides width on the right flank, plays high volume of crosses into the box, will make overlapping and underlapping runs, has the technical dribbling ability to take on opponents and the aggression to ride challenges. Anyone there worry you, Ryan?
Nah, mate. Nah. No, it's a good presentation from ABFC Scout, and I do follow him myself, and I have read his thread. The winger, obviously, very, very tricky. The striker's a bit of a maverick, but we had it all with Jonathan David and the last winger that was that rocked up down Villa Park with Lille. So I think we've got enough in our squad to deal with it. You know, you're up against Pau Torres, the best progressive centre back in the world. Luca Dean's on fire down that left hand side. So there you go. He'll block out all that action. So of course, you know, it's a semi final, so they're going to have very, very good technical, decent players, and they're seasoned European competition club, aren't they? They're in Europe pretty much every year, so they've got a lot of experience at this level. And it's a big test for us, but I'd imagine the Olympiacos, if they're looking at our team and our heat maps and our players and Ollie Watkins' goals and assists and Leon Bailey's goals and assists, they'd also be very threatened by our records and our stats this season. So all about the heart, mate, and I think we've got it.
I think our form's going under the radar a little bit. I think our form's going under the radar a little bit from some as well. Finally, we'll just touch on this here. So we've got Ajax win, West Ham draw, beat Wolves, lost to City, drew to Brentford, beat Lille, beat Arsenal, drew to Lille, went through and, beat Bournemouth, drew to Chelsea. Our form going into this is pretty, pretty good, to be fair. And that's what I was saying yesterday on the debrief, that now it's just about getting that scoreboard ticking over and just ending the season in a consistent nature. Right, score prediction time. As always, we'll save just until last because he's probably going to end it on something. I am going to go with, I think, and this isn't me disrespecting Olympiacos, this isn't me just thinking we're going to blitz them. I think we're going to win this, and I think I think this tie is going to be done and dusted in the first part of it, and I think we'll win 3-0. I think we're going to get this one done. Ryan?
I was thinking along the same lines. I think we're just going to come out and go for the juggler. I really do. I really do. I'm going to go 3 for Villa as well, but I'll go for us to concede one. So I'll go Villa 3-1.
Hannah?
I like the optimism. I'm going to go slightly more cautious with a 2-0. A nice, humble 2-0.
That'd be nice. Justin, where's your head at?
I'm just thinking, who's the juggler? Does he play in goal for Olympiacos? Is that I want to think that we're going to win it comfortably in the first leg because, like you say, the nil is the most important bit for me. I don't want them scoring. And if we can get 2 or 3, that would be wonderful to go over there because I think, as I say, I think Lille are a better side than Olympiacos, and I think a two goal lead going over there. I'm not going to be greedy on this one. I would take 2-0 right now and take it over there. I think we'd have enough to see us reach our second ever European final.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just checking here what West Ham did against them. So West Ham lost to Olympiacos 2-1. In the Europa League, and they also, I think they beat them as well.
1-0.
Did they beat them 1-0? So they beat them 1-0 at home, and then lost.
They also had Danny Ings playing up front for them on both occasions. So
okay,
really need to
know. Okay, yeah. So I mean, West Ham have beat them this season, and we are a far better side than West Ham. So, right. So We've still got some really good content to come out this week. We've got an opposition preview, which is going to be very, very interesting to get a proper insight to find out everything about Olympiacos, how they're playing. We'll just get everything out of them. And then we'll do the predicted lineup where we're going to be going through scouting network, and we'll find out the finer details of how they play, what we can watch out for, and get a real good understanding. So we'll... Every Villa fan should be going into this game full of knowledge on Olympiacos, on what to expect, where the dangers are, and everything. So, so buzzing to have Ryan back on. You know, it just makes us feel sort of more homely. Again. Yeah, homely. The very first ever episode that we ever did on this channel, Justin and Ryan were on it. So, has anyone ever watched that back? Oh my God.
Yes. Horrific. Yeah. I'd like to say I had less hair, but
it's like someone's got. It's like I've been held hostage. And like, someone's like.
Hostage, yeah.
remember that running, Luke? And I think it was after the West Ham, we stayed up. We said, you know what? One day we'll be podcasting outside the Nou Camp, Barcelona. And you know what? That dream could not be far away. Next season. So, could be next season, as early as that. So, dream big, kids.
Yeah, what a journey. So, right. Mm-hmm. So, I want you all to go back and watch the first episode we've ever done.
Don't bother.
No.
I had lockdown hair.
Can you take it down?
I think I had an Alice band in my hair, was that bad.
I'm definitely going to watch it back now then.
It was like in the height of lockdown, wasn't it? Yeah, it's terrible.
God, it was bad. Right, it's cool. God. So, subscribe to the channel, smash a like, comment your thoughts. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.